재미와 지식의 오디오라이프 팝빵
Hello, hello. My name is Matthew Chung. Welcome back to Super Radio. This is Korean Delicacy on TBS EFM 101.3. I've been a chef now for over 12 years, cooking all around the world, and Korean Delicacy is all about the most delicious things to come out of Korea. Whenever we near the end of a season, it's almost like cleaning out a kitchen. What did we do with all the leftovers? All those delicious bits of content we didn't get a chance to air. For our penultimate episode, here's what didn't make the cut, as well as what to do with actual leftovers. All right, so one episode we didn't get around to doing is an episode on challenging Korean foods. You know, those Korean foods that, if maybe they're not the best for the weak of heart, you know, the ones that require a little bit of an adventurous spirit to really dive into. And I think the first one has to be hongo. Back when I was working at one of the top 4-star hotels here in Korea, it was a rare thing because I was actually working in the Korean restaurant over there. And I mentioned this before in the show, but traditionally, a lot of the top hotels in Korea didn't have Korean restaurants. And it's because Korean food, they say, 손이 많이 가, that it requires a lot of prep work. It's very fiddly, a lot of knife work, a lot of things that have to be done in hand. And a lot of hotels, they just can't make that work economically speaking. So I worked at one of the very rare Korean restaurants and some of the 4-star hotels. And on one of the course menus, we had hongo. And this was probably the item that was substituted out the most. They asked, like, can I get something else instead of this? Now, for those who aren't aware, hongo is fermented skate. Skate is a type of ray. It's kind of looks like a flappy pancake in terms of the fish world. And it looks quite alien. And when eaten fresh, it's quite delicious. It's very cartilaginous. So when you cook it, it becomes very rich and, you know, kind of almost the way that like kaibichim becomes rich when you cook it down for a long and slow period of time. But when you ferment it, it becomes something completely different. It's very firm, for one, very, very firm, almost not like food. I can't really think of other foods that are quite this firm that you eat. Yeah, no, not in terms of meats or fishes, but it's really the smell that I think turns a lot of people off of this food. It's probably the king of challenging Korean foods. So when you ferment skate, it produces uric acid, which gives it its very signature aroma, and it's almost impossibly chewy. I did a TV show with the BBC almost like 5 years ago or so, and the reporter that came, there's kind of like a thing that they were doing the show of like crazy foods from around the world, and the producer's like, we got to try this fermented skate. And, oh, the poor reporter. It's the first time I've seen anyone cry on air. It was so hard for her. She literally started crying. Tears started coming out of her eyes because it's chewy and it smells like a men's restroom. But weirdly enough, you get used to it and it actually starts tasting good. I don't know what that says about me, but it is challenging. And so number two is we're kind of taking a sharp left turn from hongo, because I think that number two most challenging food in Korea is actually one of the most beloved, and it's probably one of the most common. It's naengmyeon. Because if you think about it, naengmyeon is kind of a weird thing, right? It's cold, it's ice cold, and it's sour and spicy from mustard, and it's chewy. I racked my brain. And I don't think any other country has noodles, kind of like their signature, most commonly eaten noodle, as something that's cold, sour, and chewy. But again, it's one of those things. You have to take it into context, because to me, having naengmyeon, especially 물냉면, at the end of a Korean barbecue meal after I go eat 고기, it's almost like taking a shower. It's so refreshing because you've been eating this rich meat and that kind of like fatty smoke has been filling the air. You know, you might have had a couple glasses of soju up until then. And naengmyeon, man, it's like a cold shower on a summer's day. It's challenging. And I've met a couple of people, newcomers to Korea. The first time they've had naengmyeon, they couldn't wrap their heads around it. Hopefully they've gotten used to it by this time, because, man, it is a treat. Number three has to be gopchang. intestines. So they can be pig or cow intestines, and they're delicious, but definitely not for the squeamish. And they're definitely third tier. They're kind of like, we do, you know, if you've been tuning into the show, we do beginner, intermediate, advanced. This is advanced level Korean barbecue. And you can have it grilled, which is, I think, my favorite way to do it. And then you can also have it in a jeonggol, which is kind of like a hot pot or a braise. It's also very, very delicious. And the inside, it's filled with all this fat. And I guess they're kind of like rubber bands filled with fat. I can't make any of this sound good, can I? But believe me, it's one of these. And one more time, just try it. It's pretty good stuff. Number four has to be garlic bread. And this is I'm not talking about the garlic bread that you get in like the red and white checkerboard Italian-American restaurants. I'm talking about Korean-style garlic bread. And now, this type of garlic bread is becoming increasingly harder to find because I think tastes have been changing, but it's one of those things that, again, I think you just have to grow up with it. Because Korean garlic bread is sweet and it's dry. So they take bread that's almost turned to croutons or rusks, and they put garlic, butter, and a lot of sugar on there. It's one of those things. I couldn't stand it growing up just because, like, I wanted, you know, the traditional garlic bread that you have with your spaghetti and meatballs. But now that it's harder to find, I find myself craving it more and more often. And then number five, we have bandegi, silkworm pupa. Yes, they're a byproduct of the silk industry. And they are eaten, and most often eaten from a little stall. So you'll have an ajumma that's selling bandegi, and they'll put it into a little paper cup, and you can smell it from a mile away. It smells like wet cardboard. That's exactly what it smells like. It's kind of interesting to think about the smell of wet cardboard being that strong, but it is. And so you take a little paper cup of it, and you basically get like a little serving of little aliens, essentially. It doesn't look like food. It doesn't even look like anything that's come from this earth. And they're dark brown. They're chewy. They've got this dark, evil-looking broth that comes with it. But when you try it, actually, the smell doesn't carry over into the flavor. It's very, very savory. It just kind of tastes like protein, which gives me hope for this future where maybe factory farming isn't a thing and we're all eating insect protein. And if anyone can make it taste good, I believe in our food scientists. Alrighty. So we've talked about challenging foods. We didn't get to this episode. And so moving on to the rest of our leftovers episode, let's talk about actual leftovers. So one question I get all the time is foods and their expiration dates and what can and can't go past its expiration dates. Now, so most foods can be eaten a few days past the date of expiry. And the number one rule is this: use your eyes and nose. If it looks fine and smells fine, it should be fine. But there are a few things that you can't let go past their expiration date. So say you have some cheese in your refrigerator and you have a little white mold on it, right? You can either cut that part off or use a little bit of diluted vinegar on a paper towel or on a kitchen towel and wipe it off, and this should be fine. However, if that mold looks black or blue, that's probably a good sign that you should throw the entire thing out. And let that be a lesson to you. Eat your cheese. Don't let it die. Just make sure that you get to it. Also, things like cold pressed juices, soft cheeses as well, ground meat. Ground meat is a big one because ground meat, essentially when meat develops bacteria, it develops bacteria on the surface. But if you think about what ground meat is, it's all surface. There's so much surface area to ground meat. And so when bacteria gets to it, it can really mean bad news. Also, things like fish, deli meats is another one, as well as leafy greens. Make sure not to eat those once they've gone bad. And there are a couple things that actually might kill you. We have garlic and oil. So here's the thing about garlic is that it can contain botulism spores. And so botulism, it's a type of bacteria that is probably the most lethal type of foodborne illness there is. And it's an anaerobic bacteria, which means that it grows in environments without any oxygen. So when you have a garlic oil, essentially raw garlic that's been steeped in oil to make it, to infuse it with a garlic flavor, this is prime breeding ground for botulism. And there have been cases in the past where they've been selling these kind of fancy garlic-infused oils in high-end kitchen supply stores and department stores. and they've led to a couple of deaths. So here's how to make garlic oil in a way that won't kill you. Basically, cook your garlic. You have to make sure that the garlic gets cooked and don't keep it for more than a couple of days. Also, damaged cans as well. Cans with dents in them, it can lead to the same thing just because that can is supposed to be an environment that basically keeps all the bacteria out. If that can is damaged, it can let some things in and it can mean some bad news. And finally, you have green potatoes as well. Make sure that if your potatoes are turning green, trim it off until you can no longer see any green. Although there are some cases where, and I've had this as well, where it's just so far gone that you just have to toss the entire thing out. But here's how to make your potatoes last longer. Keep them in a cool, dry place. Keep them in a cupboard somewhere, away from a window, away from the inside of the kitchen towards a stove where it gets hotter. Cool, dry place is the best place to keep a potato. And that is all the time we have, unfortunately, today. And we can't do another leftovers episode, but maybe we have one more left. Maybe we'll get to the rest of the stuff then. But for now, thank you for listening to Korean Delicacy on Super Radio. Check out our Instagram at superradio101.3, and please send any episode requests to superradio101.3@gmail.com. Thank you for tuning to TBS EFM. I'm your host, Matthew Chung, and playing us out is John Legend with Save Room.